There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
This is a podcast called 25 Whistles Talking Football, and they all wear a whistle. Yeah, it's stupid, but what did you expect? It's a podcast called 25 Whistles.
25 Whistles.
Blow that whistle.
Let's go. 25 Whistles, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BobbySports to get in on the action. It's been a pretty piss poor sports week for us, so we're going to do something positive in a minute.
Oh, cool.
Love it.
We need it.
Have to dig.
We're all freaking losers, and that's okay. I was talking to one of the guys, big executives of DraftKings, and he was like, I was listening to your biggest college rivalries. I felt like it was a little SEC skewed. I said, what are you talking about? Texas-Oklahoma is not SEC. They may be going to the SEC. Mm-hmm. I said, Army-Navy, not SEC.
Correct. I did the Battle of the Pines, Stephen F. Austin, Sam Houston State, not SEC.
Never even heard of those schools, so there you go.
Are they real?
They are real.
So,
hell of a rivalry.
Yeah, it really gets down to it.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Michigan?
Yeah.
Not Southern SEC. At all?
Yeah.
What other ones did I pick, though? Because those are three of the five, unless I just did the top three.
And then you did Alabama-Auburn.
Excellent rivalry.
Yeah.
That's SEC, though.
Who cares?
I'm just saying the DraftKings argument.
No, I'm going to give you a DraftKings argument right here. They're being haters, but they did give me a hard time, too, about missing parlays. And I'm like, look, I say, here's the thing. I'm trying as hard as I can, but you can follow me on the app and see every bet I make, and I'm up. So the one parlay, and we have a different philosophy this year we're going to do. This week, excuse me. But anyway.
Okay, but see, that's the thing. Like, a lot of people do these parlays on DraftKings. I bet some of those. I didn't hit a few times on some of those.
Same.
I think there was one. Matthew Berry did one.
It's just supposed to be
way
fun.
Way off.
Fun and funny.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, like, the big picture, you can get with me and follow on the DraftKings app and see everything I bet.
That's right. Where are they out of? Where's DraftKings out of?
Your brain.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Boston.
That's deep. Okay, so they're the East.
Yeah, Boston.
All right, we should have done Boston College versus BU.
Oh, that's what it is. Like New Hampshire.
Yeah. Yale.
Those rivalries.
Harvard. Yale.
Yeah.
Yeah. So coming up later, Kansas State All-American offensive lineman Cooper Beebe and coach Chris Kleiman. So that is awesome. So we'll get to that in a second. It was also coach's birthday while we were there.
Yes, it was. And I wonder if he went to dinner
and
on
what,
us.
What is he on us? Yeah, we're like, yeah. Coach, go dinner on us.
Julie's.
We'll reimburse you. So here's what we're going to do. Friends, Texas lost. That's Mike D's team.
Yep.
It's a miserable loss. Mm. The Patriots, they even have 11 guys anymore?
I don't think so.
It's been a bad season,
yeah.
Couple weeks. I mean, humiliating. Eddie.
Yeah, Cowboys.
Cowboys, ugly loss.
They look like they didn't know how to play football.
At least you're having a decent season, though.
We were.
Still are. Still can. And for me, it's been really rough with Arkansas. Really rough. Where I'm just sad all the time. So what I want is something positive from your sports world that you can share so we can switch it up. So, Eddie, I'll go to you first.
Okay. So on NBA 2K, on our Eras League.
You're the Mavericks.
I got the Mavericks. I somehow ended up with the Mavericks. Awesome. I finally played with my team. Dude, 2001 Mavericks is amazing.
I know.
Dirk Nowitzki could, I mean, he could drop threes. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to hit a full meter for him to drop a three.
I'm doing the same thing with Wally Szczerbiak, who's not even as good as Dirk. And you don't have to hit the full meter. And sometimes it goes in. And I'm like, oh my God.
I know. It's so crazy.
I wanted Dirk and Steve Nash. That's an awesome team that you have.
Yeah, man. The team's really, really good.
You may can win a championship.
I've already played 4 games and I'm 3-1.
Oh, good. I lost this morning.
Uh-oh.
Before work, I play something like 3 in the morning. I play the Lakers. They've got 298s, Shaq and Kobe.
Oh, yeah, that's tough.
I lost in overtime. And so I'm like 7-1 or something. But I'm the Nashville nostalgia. And we play in Steve Urkel Arena. And it's just all stuff from the 90s and 2000s on our jerseys. I thought it was kind of fun.
That's really awesome. Funny.
Yeah. But good for you. Well, let's get a game.
So that's positive.
Good for you. Kevin.
For me, it'd be fantasy football for once. I started off rough, have Justin Fields as my quarterback for a couple weeks. Not very good. Now, he's what, number 3?
Hey, 2 weeks in a row, he's been crushing. Yeah, 8 touchdowns in 2 weeks.
I've won them both. I got A-Chain, however you say it. Now he's hurt. That's okay. I got Saquon coming back. Won a couple in a row. I got a little momentum going.
Good for you.
And I'm happy.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Mike?
Well, I'm not into football right now.
He just quits. I feel it. I feel you.
But being from Dallas, I'm also a fan of the Texas Rangers, who are crushing it right now. They just swept the Baltimore.
Yeah.
And I'm watching baseball for the first time ever.
I felt bad for Baltimore. Mm-hmm. They won 101 games. Mm-hmm. And they're just perennial losers. And I mean that in a loving way.
Yeah, forever.
Yeah. And I mean that as somebody who's been a Cubs fan his whole life. And
that was hard years.
I just know losing forever, forever, forever. And so I feel terrible for them. I wanted them to beat the Rangers because I wanted to see Baltimore win. And they won 100. I mean, it's just Cal Ripken.
No, I'm alone. Someone.
He didn't die.
No, I'm saying just win it for Cal, man.
Andrew Jones.
There we go. Andrew Jones. Win it for Dale Murphy.
The Orioles?
Yeah.
Was Dale Murphy a Brave.
Oh, he was an Oriole too, I think.
I don't remember Dale Murphy playing with the Orioles ever.
All right.
You could definitely be right.
Fact checking.
All I remember is Dale Murphy TBS, early days.
I don't really.
Baltimore.
Don't know who that is.
Don't really know.
Eddie Murray.
I think that's who I'm thinking of. Baltimore. Eddie Murray.
They're totally different.
Yeah, I know. But
no, Eddie Murphy is
a Ranger. Murphy. Yeah, that's who I'm thinking.
Dale Murphy is a white, skinny outfielder.
Correct.
Eddie Murray is kind of a more built, power-hitting black guy.
Yeah, Rockies, Phillies, and Braves.
So he's never on the Orioles.
Never on the Orioles.
Eddie Murray. That's who I was thinking of.
Billy Ripken.
Yeah. That's Cal's brother with a card that was awesome.
F-U-C-K on the bottom of the bat.
You remember that, Kevin?
No.
You know about that?
Uh-uh.
His baseball card, he's holding the bat on his shoulder, and it says F-U-C-K on the bottom of the bat, drawn.
Really?
It was an error card that was worth a lot of money.
But I think it was actually written on the bat, and then they took it off.
Yeah.
Once they realized they'd printed it.
Dang.
Yeah, it was awesome.
That'd be cool.
What's going on for me right now is Arkansas basketball, ranked 12 in the ESPN poll to start the year.
Let's go.
Very excited about that. I wish I were excited about football, and I still am. If we go and win every game, I'll still be like, that's a pretty good year. But even if we win every game out, we'd still end up with 8 wins, and I really thought we'd win 9 or 10.
Yeah.
10 on a really great, catching a couple breaks. But if we can win out, okay. But it's kind of sad. I bet the over-under on DraftKings at 7.
For Alabama, Arkansas?
No, for the wins for the year.
Oh.
A couple of the wins for the year, I did that at 7. I did Vanderbilt at 3.
What are that right now, 3?
I think they have 2. I don't know. I don't look because then I just get sad. I start doing the math.
You don't look before you bet?
I do before I bet, but then I don't look again until after. Mm. And then because of the futures I put on this week, I've got a future now on the Ravens, the Cowboys, and the Eagles.
Ravens and Cowboys. Yeah, the Eagles ones.
It's like I would do on the 49ers. I just feel like they're probably going to win. I'm not going to make that much money.
I would let them lose a little bit and let those odds get higher. Yeah.
Yeah. Kevin.
Vanderbilt has won 2 games.
Yeah. So what's their schedule look like? Because I need them to win one more to just push.
Got Georgia this week.
Yeah. Lose.
Ole Miss.
Lose.
Auburn.
Lose.
South Carolina.
Lose.
Tennessee.
Lose.
Lose.
That's it.
That's tough.
Maybe they could do that last year and pull one out.
That loss to UNLV hurt. Dang.
Yeah. Let's go, Vandy.
Yeah.
I tell you, I saw Coach's dad, my son's football, basketball game. No, baseball game.
Yeah. like four times. Did you tell us on this show?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. No. Got it. Then you should tell us again. I didn't know. Sorry. Okay. Hey, man, no, what's up?
So I was at my kid's baseball game, and I was wearing my Vandy football shirt, and this man comes up, and he's like, hey, cool shirt. And I'm like, thank you. I just stood there, and he's like, so you a fan? And I was like, well, I'm not a fan. You know, me and a buddy, we do a sports podcast and went a video thing. Then we went to Vanderbilt and did a thing with them. Oh, that's cool. Watched a little more baseball. And then he goes, well, my son's the coach there. And I was like, what? You could have led with that. You're Clark Lee's dad. He's like,
that's
yeah,
super cool.
Yeah, I'm Clark Senior.
It's super cool. You know, he's proud of his son, too.
Heck yeah.
Because he wanted to find a way to get to it, because I would,
totally.
Too. Because I'm like, I know a guy who met Clark Lee's dad. That's how proud I am of Clark Lee. Just to get it all the way over.
What's funny, though, is I told him, like, yeah, I work with Bobby Bones, and we do this thing. He's like, oh, my gosh. Wait, too much access. I saw it. He's
oh,
like,
good.
I saw the video.
That's awesome.
You guys are trying to kick footballs like idiots. I love it.
Is that what he said?
No, I mean, not like that. Okay, not right. Verbatim.
All right, let's go over. It's time for the Tittle Tattle.
It's time for the stupidest name ever. It's the Tittle Tattle with Kickoff.
If Oregon beats Washington this week, do you think Bo Nix takes over as a Heisman favorite?
No.
Oh, wow. That was quick.
I couldn't even finish.
No, I know. I think probably he needs a few big wins. Bo Nix, even though he's been awesome at Oregon, Bo Nix still has a little bit of Auburn on him. And it also sucks for Bo Nix that he plays at Oregon because not all Americans to watch his games, so they can't shake off all the Auburn on him. So we don't really get to see all the new and improved Bo Nix unless we stay up late or make a point to do it. I think if he has a great game, it probably shifts it a bit. But will he be the favorite? No, it depends on how good Caleb Williams plays. That's a big game against Notre Dame. If Caleb Williams goes out primetime, I get it. USC, it's a left school as well. But USC is a little more high profile than Oregon. Even
left in the country, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Not politically?
I'm looking at a map.
Okay.
Well, probably both, I'll be honest.
That's true.
Yeah. But Caleb Williams also has what Bo Nix had, in that Caleb Williams has a little bit of Oklahoma on him, and he was awesome at Oklahoma. So I think Caleb Williams wins it. I think Michael Penix Jr. is the favorite right now, but barely. I think if Bo Nix plays awesome and Oregon keeps winning, he probably moves up a bit. What is he, third right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's Penix Jr., Caleb Williams, and Bo Nix at three. But I do think if Oregon wins and he plays awesome, sure. But I don't think he's the favorite until they are right about to make the freaking tournament.
You think he has to beat Penix and Williams?
When you call him Penix, it just feels like so much.
Are you doing that on purpose?
He is.
Penix.
No,
Penix,
Penix. But you know how close Penix
I just
is
like,
to something
I just like making
why
you guys
that?
Uncomfortable.
No, I think it was an accident. I think he just attached himself to it.
Oh, yeah.
I think Caleb Williams wins the Heisman.
Okay.
Unless they lose two or three games. Everybody wants Caleb Williams to win it, as in everybody, all the media. They love it because he gets clicks, so they'll keep writing stories about him. It's just going to feed the monster.
Yeah.
But Bo Nix can win the Heisman if Oregon wins the whole thing. There you go. Suck on that. You know who I like, though? If I were voting and had the only vote that counted?
Penix?
Mm-mm. Dong.
Excuse me?
Everything that sounds like penis.
Excuse
last
me?
Names.
What are we talking about here?
I would vote for Bowers at Georgia.
Love that.
He's awesome.
Get tight end some love.
A tight end hasn't won it since like the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, he's awesome.
But he's awesome. He's the best football player.
Yeah, he's.
Caleb Williams and Bowers are both.
What about Drake May?
Or
out of it?
Crotum.
Funny. Yeah.
I'm picking words that all rhyme, sound like wings. Okay, go ahead. Next question.
Which non-Pac-12 ranked matchup are you looking forward to most? USC at Notre Dame or Miami at North Carolina?
I don't care about Miami at North Carolina. Good. Have a nice day. It's a fun game to see if Miami bounces back after their humiliating, didn't take any loss. And the North Carolina, Drake May's awesome, but I don't really care that much. What I care to see is USC and Notre Dame.
Yes.
For the same reason everybody wants to say it. It's two massive programs. It's Notre Dame who... People love it when Notre Dame's supposed to be good, and then they're not. I think people love that more than when Notre Dame is good. And they definitely love it more than when Notre Dame is just bad and nobody cares. What people like is to see Notre Dame get set up and then clocked.
And then get knocked down again?
Yes, because they're very entitled. And I would feel entitled if I were a Notre Dame fan, for sure. I wish I felt entitled, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But I don't. I'm a loser. But people love when Notre Dame's like, this is the team, and they love to see people just kick them right in the balls. And they've already been kicked there. So they're not going to win the national championship this year, but people want to watch that game because of Caleb Williams and because they want to see Notre Dame get beat. Now, I would like to see Notre Dame win.
That would be cool.
Just counter everything I just said, because they can't win the national championship. I've already achieved what I wanted with Notre Dame. Now I want to see them eat up other schools.
Do you feel like it's two entitled teams? Because Southern California,
yes, absolutely.
Like that is their, that's what they're known for.
Yeah, and
USC.
They also fire coaches if they're not big winners.
Yeah.
They're just kind of winners. You only do that if you're an entitled team.
So we call it the entitled bowl?
Well, you'd need like 9 teams playing at once.
There's a lot of entitled
teams. Like Royal Rumble, all 9 teams get on the field at once.
Put Texas in there.
Yes, last one. I mean, throw Oklahoma in there. Throw Alabama in
there. Ohio State.
Yeah, you're entitled because you've won a lot.
Okay.
Like it's a success thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
You know, there's not a team that wins a bunch of national championships that you just go, you know, I'm big fans of them. They're just great people. Because eventually you kind of turn into a douche. I wish I could be a douche about Arkansas.
That'd be cool.
Georgia's starting to turn into a douche.
Yeah.
Starting, and I would too. If I won 2 in a row, of course. That's the goal, to be a douche.
Kevin, what's the UCLA-USC kind of, like, what's that vibe? Because I feel like you said, like, USC is what you think about when you think of Southern Cal. What about UCLA? They're running this side of town.
Yeah, they're kind of like the little brother, like the Angels and the Dodgers kind of thing. But USC is known for like spoiled kids and rich kids. And
You mean actual schools.
I mean both.
Yeah, I guess UCLA basketball is what I associate with winning basketball in California.
Yeah.
And USC football.
Mm.
Yeah. All right, next up.
Going to the NFL, after torching the Cowboys and getting his team to 5-0, do you think Brock Purdy is still being disrespected?
I think a lot of people, myself included, although I wasn't just a pure hater on Purdy, we got to watch him in primetime, and it was the only game on, and so we spent time with him. I think like 20 million people watched that game.
Yeah, we hung out with him.
Yeah, otherwise, it's the 4 o'clock game, or the 3 o'clock game. It's 4 o'clock on fantasy football because they run it Eastern.
Yeah, 3 o'clock. Yeah.
It's a 3 o'clock game, and you're watching it with 2 other games, and the 49ers are winning, but the game gets out of hand quick, or it's them playing. So you don't spend a lot of time with it, and you listen to the people that you trust going, Brock Purdy's system quarterback. But then we watched him play the Cowboys, and he was making every throw with touch or on the money hard, or he was checking. Yes, he has a bunch of weapons, but okay, we can't penalize people for the weapons that they have. That would be stupid.
Yeah, even if the system is perfect, you've got to make that throw, and
he's making them all.
It's a good defense.
And I think everybody keeps saying Brock Purdy's underrated is now – swinging the pendulum the other way.
Yeah.
So good for him. He's killing it. He makes $800,000 a year, which in the NFL is not a lot. It's a rookie deal, 7th round, last pick, right? Generally speaking, yes. But for NFL player, $800,000 a year. Not for a star of the best team in the NFL, $800,000, the quarterback, it's a low. So, and he lives in San Francisco, which costs way more.
Yeah.
So he has a roommate.
but he understands that, right? I think he understands it's early in his career and he's still trying to prove who he is, even though he's getting closer and closer to proving that. He's still at the $800,000 level, right? He's close to the big deal.
Yeah, but he's $800,000 because a team, that's when they really have the ability to win big, is when you have somebody massive in a rookie deal. You don't just go and throw him a bunch of money. He knows.
Yeah.
I mean, he's good. He'll make a bunch of money unless he gets hurt. But if you can get a quarterback in a rookie deal, year 2 or 3, they're pretty. But then you got to pay him like Mahomes. That's why he has no wide receivers, because
right.
They can't pay anybody else. And so even like Kelce, who's a massive star, great tight ends just don't get paid as much as receivers. So that's very beneficial to the team that they have somebody in a rookie deal, especially a quarterback.
They won the lottery for sure.
Yeah. So, all right, one more.
Seen some major upsets in the MLB playoffs right now, and I was wondering, would you rather have your team not make the playoffs at all or be a top team all year and then get bounced in the first round?
I would rather make the playoffs and just be destroyed later in the playoffs than not make it at all, because that means hopefully you've got some health going into next year. That means you had fun this season. That's more time you got to spend winning, just generally.
Right.
And it sucks. It's like, would you rather your team go to the Final Four and get beat on a heartbreaking buzzer beater, or not make the tournament? Take me to the Final Four. I'll heartbreak all day. I'm used to heartbreak. I'm freaking callous. All my teams lose. It sucks. So, yes, I would rather make the playoffs and lose in a really bad way, because then I can come on and keep doing this crap. I suck.
That's good content.
Feel sorry for me. Yes. All right, thank you. That's Tittle Tattle. The stupidest name ever. It's the Tittle Tattle. All right, thank you, Kevin. 25 Whistles presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings app and use the code BOBBYSPORTS to get in on the action. We're going to build this parlay with each of our hands.
Ooh.
Because I just haven't been successful. I've gotten close, but close don't matter in a parlay. So I'm going to do my one, and then you guys throw your one in here. let's build it as a team.
Let's go.
I will go first. I'm going Duke money line versus North Carolina State. Pretty close game. It's been like 2 or 3 points, what the spread's been. But I'm going to go Duke money line versus NC State.
Okay. And money line's Duke's the favorite there?
Yes.
Okay.
It looks like by 2.5 or 3.
Three and a half, right? Yeah.
And now it's 3.5?
Yeah.
I better bet it quick before it goes up again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to put the odds into. All right, go ahead. Kevin.
I'm going to go with stay in the ACC there. North Carolina money line against Miami at home. North Carolina, they are 3.5-point favorites as well.
Yeah, we're a bunch of wimps.
Well, I know, but we got to get back on track here.
I agree.
You know?
No, I again, it was, I think, 2.5 when I jumped on it, and now it's 3.5, but that's still a loser. I should have. I'm not taking the spread. I just need to win.
So only one of us has balls here?
That would probably be you. But just don't be the
only
one.
Only one of us?
Just don't be the one to lose it.
That's what I'm saying,
dude. You got to take risks.
They already came at Bobby.
You're not
they said.
Risk. Every time I'd be like, Eddie, should I cash out? He's like, yeah, cash out. So you're full of crap about risk. Okay, go ahead. Oh, let me type this in. Duke money line, not 3.5. All right. Duke money line minus 175. Boom.
Dang.
Add more. Okay, Kevin, yours is?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Throw your hands up.
Okay.
Like a helicopter.
North Carolina versus Miami. North Carolina is a 3.5-point favorite after the Miami Cristobal
debacle.
So they're either going to come and play terrible or blow the doors off and be like, we're so embarrassed, we're going to come out for vengeance.
That's what scares me.
Okay. And Eddie.
Let's get some guts here, guys. Look, Louisville coming off a great victory, killing Notre Dame at home. They're playing Pitt. Pitt's not a very good football team. They got 7 points, so it's Louisville minus 7.5 right now.
So we're taking the spread on that one?
Yes. Louisville's going to run over Pittsburgh.
Okay. You don't think it's like a trap game, do you?
No, I do not.
Okay, those three, if you bet $10, you'll make $46.60.
That's good.
I bet $100 to make $466.
Okay.
So I'm in. I bet mine. If we say it, I do it. There you go. Get in with us.
Taking mine.
Eddie, good for you for picking the spread.
Hey, man, let's make some smiles on that one.
The Arkansas spread last week was like 11.5. Mm-hmm. I changed it up to Arkansas 7, plus 7, and then it freaking pushed. I tried to take less points because I knew they'd be in it closer, and then they pushed, on
that's
that
close.
One. If you want to take the 25 Whistles parlay, you can check out DraftKings Sportsbook. New users use the code BOBBYSPORTS when you download the app. 21 and up in most eligible states. But age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk now with an All-American. Not always we get to hang out with an All-American or hit him with pads, or he helps us put our pads on.
Yeah, push him around.
Yeah, Cooper Beebe is awesome. Like, what a dude. So here he is. Cooper was ranked the 9th best player in the state of Kansas coming out of high school. He was not a 4-star kid, though, is what's funny.
Crazy.
Like, he wasn't this massive recruit we were talking to him about. He's a 3-star recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And so, big shot put guy, played basketball as well when he was in high school. And he's All-American now. He could have went to the draft last year. During the game, they were talking about that, too. Like, he wanted to stay. I guess his brother plays on the team, too, which we didn't meet his brother. But and he, like, taught school. You guys see the package he ran on him on the football game? He's, like, teaching kids, like, in high school.
Yeah.
It's awesome. I love this dude. You can follow Cooper on his journey to the NFL next year on Twitter. Cooper underscore BB. Here he is, Cooper BB. Cooper, how big a boy are you?
6'3", 330.
How long have you been that big?
Oh, my whole life.
Yeah, it's got to be tough for your mom. It's 6'3".
You came out like that?
That's, dang. So what town did you grow up in?
So I grew up in Kansas City.
And in high school, were you, you know, big 4-star lineman?
I was actually a 2-star defensive lineman.
That's crazy. And that's the point I wanted to get to, is that here you are now, preseason All-American, but a 2-star guy. And so a lot of people watching this may be like you in high school right now, or may have kids in high school right now that haven't, they don't even know their potential yet. Like, what would you say to them watching this?
Man, I tell you what, ratings don't mean anything, you know. Dude, don't let anybody ever tell you you can't do it. You know, if you put in the work, you know, day in, day out, you know, big things will happen.
What's your dream?
I want to play in the NFL. It's my dream.
What, you want to play left tackle? You
want to play guard.
You want to play, okay.
You know, I have played tackle. It's definitely not, you know, with these little arms, it's not necessarily the easiest thing.
Did you say little arms? Why are you on? Where's your helmet on?
What? You never know. We're on the field, man. You want to get a flag out here.
Taking your helmet off.
Success and celebration if you take it off.
Exactly.
So you're going to leave it on the whole interview?
That's right.
Okay. So when you come out those doors and this place is full of people screaming, clapping, I mean, that's got to be awesome.
Yeah, this is my 5th year here, and I still get goosebumps every time. You know, you sit right there, and the garage opens, the smoke's going off. It's just an unreal experience.
What's Coach like?
Oh, Coach is amazing, dude. He's such a player's coach. You know, he's a dude, you know, you want to go, I'd go have a beer with or hang out with. He's just such cool, and he really builds the culture around here that makes this place special.
What do we, the common man, not know about the offensive line? Because we see you guys, and we're like, great, good job, or bad job, or nothing, or you know, because maybe you don't get the respect that you deserve. What do we not know?
You know, our job is a lot harder than people think. You know, like you said, we're always the ones that get criticized, but you know, nobody can in the stands could do what we do, and you know, we're the reason, you know, we win.
Whenever you get down on the line and somebody's calling out, there, like, what are you guys looking for whenever you line up? Like, what are you looking at? Where the defensive tackles are lined up, the linebackers? What are you all yelling down there?
So usually we yell like combinations. So if I'm next to center, for instance, and we're going to combo to this guy, we'll say one of our combos calls is a king. You go to this guy. So you know that you're double teaming with the dude next to you to that person.
But how would I not know that you were kinging me? If I was lined up against you and I heard you call king, I'd be like, he's going to king me. So
no, defense linemen aren't that smart.
Got it. I felt that.
That's the best answer I can give.
Do you watch draft analysis and see where they're tossing your name around?
It's hard not to see. I try to tune it out. You know, I know that I got to do what I got to do, and you know, it'll all play out from there.
Tell me about this school, how much it means to you.
Oh, it means everything to me. You know, I had the chance to go pro last year, but you know, it's just the people that truly make this place special, and you know, that was the reason I came back.
All right, thanks, Cooper BB. Awesome. We'll get to Coach in just a second. But now let's talk about the NFL season. It's going strong, and DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking new customers up with an offer that's even stronger. Bet $5 on any game this week to score $200 instantly in bonus bets. And DraftKings isn't stopping there. All customers can take advantage of a sweetener offer every game this October. Get in on the game day greatness. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use the code BOBBYSPORTS. New customers can score $200 instantly in bonus bets when you bet $5 on the NFL. That's the code BOBBYSPORTS. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, Kansas, licensee partner Golden Nugget Lake Charles, Louisiana, 21 and up, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See sports.draftkings.com/football terms for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to go over to our interview with Coach Klieman. I love this dude. I liked hanging out with them, but then when I watched them coach, and I know they lost the last game that we watched, it didn't matter. I was like, I want to play for this guy.
Yeah.
It was like fourth and four from their own 29. He's like, we got to make a move. They got one, didn't get another one, but he trusted his defense to just give up three. He was doing – it was awesome. I was like, I want to play for this dude. Like, if I was an offensive guy, I'd want to play for this dude.
Yeah, but you're too old. You can't play for him anymore.
Sometimes a Disney movie comes out about somebody who's older who goes back and makes a difference.
Just saying, man. You keep tricking yourself there.
They won the Big 12 last year.
Yeah.
And I say that to him. Like, I feel like you guys just didn't get the respect you deserve because, one, TCU ends up going to the championship game. And that, okay. And maybe if they win the game, they're like, oh, they didn't win the conference. But they get beat 100-0, so people aren't even looking at what happened in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But they won the Big 12 last year. So Coach made his name at North Dakota State. He won 4 national championships in 5 years. Which is wild. He was a part of 7 total. He led the Wildcats to a Big 12 championship last year for the first time since 2012. Follow him on Twitter at Coach KLI. He's awesome. Here he is.
And it's his birthday.
But
he thinks we don't know.
Then. Get in the time machine.
Right.
It's his birthday when we're doing this interview. Here he is, Coach Klieman.
Coach, when you take over a program, because you've been here a few years, regardless of the program, but especially somewhere like Kansas State, there are many things that the alumni and that the local folks are proud of, hand signals, if it's a woo pig or if it's the cat. How quickly do you have to learn to do the hand signal exactly right? Like day one?
Day one.
Are you scared to do it though immediately because you don't want to like do it slightly wrong?
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't want to. But no, day one, they expect you to know it all. And, you know, from Emaw to the hand signal to the Wabash Cannonball, everything you got to know.
What's the Wabash Cannonball?
It's a, one of our.
Is it a song?
Yeah, it's our song.
Well, I don't know the song.
Yeah.
No, that's the Macarena.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking
that's
of the Macarena.
What I was thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. I would just be nervous because there are times when I meet people and I don't get their name exactly right. And if I have to go on TV or something and say their name, I'm like, I don't want to have to. Because if I'm wrong, everybody's going to know I'm a little bit wrong. And there's pressure. I was looking at a lot of pictures of you holding the hand sign. Is that on a plane? Are they teaching you stuff on the flight over when you get the job?
Absolutely. That's why I had Kenny Lanou on the flight, you know, our media relations guy. He was showing me how to do everything. But no, I mean, it is such a whirlwind tour when you first get hired. And I was in the middle of another season with another team, and we were trying to win a national championship. So you'd ask my wife, she still doesn't remember that 60 days we had of kind of the courtship.
Whenever I get a treadmill or any sort of like exercise machine, I work on it for I don't know, a month or so, and then it just turns into basically a clothes hanger where I just end up throwing clothes. Now, I noticed right by your desk, there's a piece of cardio equipment.
Yeah.
How often do you actually use it, or is it more of just a discussion point now?
Did you not know what the cardio equipment is?
No, I don't.
It's an elliptical.
Okay, yeah, but how often do you get on it, though, actually?
Twice a week.
You still use it?
Yeah, I still use it. No, I don't hang any clothes on there. I truly use it twice a week. You can see we've got some big screens around here, so my video's up there. So then put the video on, watch some of the games, watch some cut-ups, watch a lot of the different plays that we're trying to watch, and I can got to get a little exercise.
Oh, so
it's hard
work
during the season.
Oh, that was like Richard Simmons or something. He's like, he puts his video up there,
yeah,
watches Sweating to the Oldies.
I would love it if it were that, but no, this is actually work. The hard thing is I have my phone with me, and then I'm trying to type in notes, and I'm sweaty, but I get it done.
If I'm thinking of throughout the week, and I'm touring now doing stand up, but if I think of a joke concept, I write it on my phone immediately. Sometimes I go back to it, and sometimes I can remember what the idea was. Sometimes I can't. As a football coach, do you do the same with concepts or plays or schemes where it's like, I have not seen this yet, let me jot it down, or maybe we should do it, and then you go back to it and revisit it in your phone, and sometimes you don't even know what you wrote down?
For me, it's more leadership thoughts, motivating thoughts. I'll get up in the middle of the night because I never sleep very well during the season, and my wife will look, what are you doing? And she'll know that I'm typing something that I just thought of at 2 a.m. to say something we can do maybe after a big win. How do we get them responding back? Maybe after a loss, maybe after a bad practice, whatever it may be. I'm always, my mind never shuts off during the football season. But there are times I'll go back in and I'll say, gosh, when did I do that? And lucky it'll say like 3:35. I'm like, boy, I don't even remember getting up.
Who are some of your leadership role models, either that you've worked for with or that you just read about that you never knew?
You know, I've been fortunate because I've got a guy named Ben Newman that's one of the world-renowned speakers in the country, sports performance coach. And he's put me on like Ed Milet, and he's put me on John Gordon and some of those guys that I love reading motivational books. I love reading leadership books. But then, you know, I'm going to read a book on Kobe Bryant. You know, I'm just how those guys, what they did to tick, you know, Michael Jordan, all the great ones of how they were motivated and what kind of drove them.
I feel like for any success that either me or my friends, peers have had, look, we all have a screw loose, but it's the right screw and it's just the right amount of loose. And you only have that little amount to still be somewhat sane. I'm only somewhat sane because it's like, I don't sleep well.
This is true,
I can't stop thinking. I can't stop imagining. My wife and I always, you know, time management, something's always happening. Do you feel like you got a screw, because you're very successful, do you feel like you have kind of a screw loose, but it's the right screw?
Yeah, you have to. I don't know which screw that is that's loose. My wife would tell you for sure, but you absolutely have to do what we do, to do what you do. I mean, it's nonstop. You know, it's 7 days a week right now. You know, you get in the office by 5:45 and you're leaving at 9:30, 9:45, and your mind's still on when you go home. You visit with your wife a little bit, you go to bed, you wake up, and it's just repeat, rinse and repeat. So you have to have a little bit of a screw loose, but it's crazy because I never have felt like, and I've been doing this for over 30 years, that I've ever had a job. I assume you probably think the same thing, that you don't really feel like you have a job.
I don't until I see the revenue that I bring in, and then I realize I need to be paid more. So, you know, that's kind of how I'm like, this is so fun. Let me see the revenue. Oh, okay, this is a job. I forgot. Yes, I agree. And my stepdad worked at the sawmill, right? And I got to see him go to work and hate his job every single day. And I had jobs that I hated every day in doing what I do in the morning or touring or this. But, and it's also like when I speak to people, I'm like, if you find something that you love to do, it's not just about having fun, but you'll actually want to be better at it.
Yep.
And when you want to be better at something, like you strive, you achieve, and it's a cycle. You love it, you get better at it, you have success, and it continues. So I've found that for me to be successful, but I agree, this isn't a real job.
Yeah, and for us in coaching, we utilize each other so much. Even when you play against somebody, you know them, you talk to them in the off season. Some guys you're really close to in season that you talk to, and you spitball ideas and you throw things around, and everybody knows everybody in our profession, probably the same as yours. You know, I've got a bunch of staff members that have been in the business for 30 plus years, and oh, hey, we play this team this week. Oh, yeah, I know the running back coach. I know the linebacker coach. I'll give them a call and see if we can get some tips or some hand signals or whatever. Or what was the environment like when we went to that stadium? And how loud was it? How loud do you have to have the noise at practice to try to replicate those things? It's just never ending. It's nonstop, but that's what makes it so much fun.
What is your wife's favorite month?
Oh, boy. I would say probably July, just because that's when we get a little bit of a break. Her birthday's in August, and I haven't celebrated a birthday because we're in the middle of fall camp our entire time together. But she knew what she was getting into. She married me when I was a graduate assistant, making about $800 a month. So she knew exactly what she was getting into. And I told her, like, your birthday's in August. That's a bad, bad month. And so now she just
she
says,
changed it. It's now in December.
Officially. Yeah. She just says, no, I'm out of town now. So now she goes out of town every August and gets away for her birthday. And I sit out of practice and I'm like, well, she's in good hands. She's doing all right.
It's your birthday today, coach. You think we didn't
Happy
know
birthday,
that?
Coach.
Happy birthday, coach.
Come on. So we knew.
So what are you, you're up here with these knuckleheads, us on your birthday, and it's off week. You could be doing whatever. Like, what do you usually do on your birthday?
Well, I was thinking back at this, and I may have to have Ryan or Kenny look this up. This is the first time that I can remember my birthday week landing on an open week. So usually it's get the text, talk to my mother, those things, and just go right back to work. I've got a radio show tonight that I've got to do from 7 to 8. And then my wife and daughter, who's in town, might grab a bite to eat or something. But usually it's right in the middle of game week, and you never know. I hate it when it's on game day. But this is the middle of game week or an open week, so it's a lot better.
Have you ever lost really bad on your birthday?
Absolutely.
Oof, that's not a good present. No.
No, that's then you don't even want. Maybe not on the birthday, but like it comes on a Sunday and you lost on a Saturday and you don't even want to take any of the calls or text and you don't want to respond back. But maybe it takes a few days and you do. But we've been fortunate. We've won more than we've lost, so that has made it a lot easier.
Coach, one of the games I hate is when you guys play TCU because there's just all purple on the field. And I'm like, oh, gosh, who's going? Oh, yes, Kansas scored. No, that was TCU. Is it ever like first question, when you go into the game, who decides like, all right, we're wearing the darks, we're wearing these helmets, we're wearing that? Because you got to coordinate, especially with a team like that's got purple.
Yeah, home team gets the selection. But last year in the Big 12 championship game, which was at AT&T Stadium, it was a sea of purple. That's all people saw. And if it weren't for the fact that I knew where our bench was and the fans we had behind our bench, but you looked across their bench and you saw the fans like, well, this place is packed with purple. It was definitely a sea of purple, but I would say it was probably 50-50 there. Maybe we had a little bit more, even though it was in Fort Worth.
All I remember is texting Eddie, because I'm colorblind to dark colors.
Yeah.
Like everything over like a 5 on the darkness scale looks the same. And I was like, dude, I don't know what's what.
Now to give him the update.
Yeah, it was like, what's the border of the numbers? Because I can't really tell the difference.
Yeah. There's some – we played a game a number of years ago, and the team had black jerseys and navy numbers. And we were trying, who's in the game? What number? We're like, we couldn't tell. Yeah. They've now made a rule against that. You can't have contrasting colors on the numbers to the jersey because you could not tell what numbers were in the game. And that's a nightmare for us as coaches to see how many running backs are in the game, how many wide receivers are in the game, and you can't even tell the numbers.
And that's strategy on their part, though, right?
I mean, oh, really. Sure it is. Yeah.
That's some crap I do.
Gamesmanship.
Yeah. I feel like peel off numbers. We'd switch numbers during the game. I'd do all kind of crazy stuff. I was looking at, since you joined as head coach here at Kansas State, I was looking at a lot of the head coaching records just in those few years. There's just so much progress that's been here at Kansas State since the moment that you took over, like actual, tangible progress. And I think it's one of the, I won't say underappreciated, but you guys won the freaking Big 12 last year. And I feel like people didn't really hold you guys up as high as, and I think TCU, them not having a good showing in the championship game just took some headlines because everybody was like, but I feel like you guys did not get the credit you deserved last year or didn't get held on the pedestal as high as you probably should have.
Probably accurate. I think there's a lot of disrespect for Kansas State. It doesn't matter if it's football, basketball, baseball, whatever it may be. But, you know, that's probably the chip on our shoulder, too, that you've got to earn that respect every day. And our guys would be the first ones to tell you that they probably like the underdog status. And they like that being the hunted perspective. And so, you know, we talk about it, but in the same respect, come every Saturday, you got to perform anyway. And we've had some really good things happen. We've had some tough losses here too, but last year probably validated a lot of the things that we wanted to get done when we came here in 2019. The pandemic year was a disaster for us, like it was everywhere else. And or a lot of people probably had better success than we did, but I remember in the pandemic year, we would do our COVID testing on Friday morning, and then the trainers would come up and say, okay, these five people have COVID. Well, those are two starting guards. Oh, those are two starting linebackers. Oh, and by the way, they're close contact guys or your starting defensive end. And you're like, all right, jump on the bus. Let's see who can play. Let's go. And that was miserable. So everything that we've done helps tarnish or magnify what that was so crappy in 2020. But for us to get that Big 12 championship last year kind of validated everything that we wanted to get done here when we came here in 2019.
It's just such a big deal. It's Power 5 conference. You win the championship. Yet we still have to hear about, and you don't need to comment on this, about stupid Texas.
Who?
Yeah, exactly.
I don't
know who they are. So it's like, who cares about Texas football? Right. I mean, you don't comment on the coach. That's just us.
We still play him this year.
Yeah, you said nothing about that. That's just us doing our comments here. What do your players know you for?
Oh, boy. Well, you get a chance to be with Cooper Beebe today, so he'll probably tell you a little bit. Hopefully that I'm a player's coach. I value their opinion. We have a leadership council that I want their opinion on things. I want their voice. I think that's a big thing right now in college athletics is, you don't want to be a dictator. You need to have those guys have a voice and take ownership in the program. And that's why I think we were successful last year is – you know, we gave them a lot of things and then gave them the keys and said, you guys got to hold each other accountable to the standard that you guys expect. You know what we expect. But when your peer can hold you accountable to that same standard of what you do on the field, what you do off the field, how you prepare yourself. And our guys have that right now. And our locker room has really good culture right now. And I'm a firm believer that when you give the guys that ownership, and let them run the team and let them run that locker room, it gets better and better.
Coach, I'm a huge Cowboys fan, so let's talk about Deuce Vaughn for a second.
Oh, boy. Isn't that fun one to talk about now?
I mean, Deuce was awesome for you guys. And then when he gets drafted by the Cowboys, super special. Of course, the whole dad connection. But he's sitting at the third running back spot. He's super fast.
Yep.
He's not that big of a guy, but what can you say about him as a person? And two, would you ever call Jerry and be like, hey, you've got to move him up. This dude is what you need.
Well, we would have played him all the time. You know, and it's funny because Deuce and his mother sat right where you're sitting when he was a senior in high school. Big, infectious smile. And I said, you're going to be a dynamite running back for Kansas State, and you're not too small to play. And we're going to build our program around you, and we're going to build our offense around you. And he lit up, and he said, I'm coming to K-State. And that's what we did, and that's what he did for us. So there's a role for him, and I don't know if it's been defined yet. I don't ever get a chance to watch NFL football. Sundays are our busiest days. I'll get a highlight. Somebody will send me, like Julius Brents had who played for us last year, had a strip and created a turnover last week. I don't get a chance to watch enough, but if you need me to call Jerry, you guys can get his number a lot easier than I could. We'll give him a call and see if we can get him on the field a little bit more.
You define yourself as a player's coach. Have you always been a player's coach, or is that something that you've transitioned to more of as you've been, had more head coaching experience?
Yeah, no, it's what I've always tried to be. I look at it as I was really fortunate to get a head job at North Dakota State. We won some games there. I was the D-back coach. I was the defensive coordinator, and I always had a really good relationship with the guys, and I always wanted to be a part of the guys' lives, not just on the field, but more importantly off the field, see how they're doing, talk about their families. And then when I got elevated to head coach, I just said, I'm not going to change. And I remember one of our players that we had at North Dakota State, I wore a suit for the first game in the morning, and it was my first game, and I'll never forget it. And the kid came up to me and said, you don't have to do this. Go put your sweats on, or go put your polo on, and we're going to be just great. And I looked at him, and I was like, oh, thank God he said that, because I felt so uncomfortable. I went back to just wearing my polo and my khakis or sweats on that day or the next game. I want to be a part of those guys' lives. And the only way you can be is by being around them as much as you can, by finding out as much as you can, by joking with them as much as you can, by just being one of the guys. And that's what assistants typically are. And us head coaches oftentimes have to become CEOs and all that other stuff, which you still have to do. But you still have to break away and get in the locker room and the training room and weight room and just, dig your heels in and get to know them.
Let's talk schematically, especially defensively. In the NFL, you're seeing Miami, they don't have a lot of big guys. They got a lot of fast guys. We're talking about Deuce Vaughn. They got a lot of guys that get in open space and then run. If it's, Mostert, if it's Tyreek, if it's Waddle. But then now the defenses are having to change too. And we saw the Patriots have to play like four or five safeties at one time to try to keep speed up. What changes are you seeing in the Big 12 or just in college football in general? Are you seeing just speed winning more at times, like in the linebacker and defensive backs more than it ever has?
Yeah, without a doubt. You don't run the old I formation, quarterback under center, very often at all. The other thing that is taking over college football that's going to take over the NFL pretty soon is no huddle, not giving a team a chance to substitute, so that we're going to put our fastest guys out there and you better be able to match those guys. And sometimes in the past, people would just match those guys on third down. Now you got to match them on first down. You got to match them on second down. And it's a skill level of trying to find safeties that are fast enough or linebackers that are fast enough. But you also have these tight ends that are 6'7", 270 pounds that can run 4-5 that you can't put a corner on because they're just going to wall them out and box them out. And, I look at the Travis Kelce from the Chiefs. Who can cover him? Well, you can put a linebacker on him, but he's faster. You can put a safety or a corner, but he's bigger. And that's what everybody's trying to recruit is the hybrid defensive players that are fast enough to be able to stuff the run, but athletic enough to be able to cover great tight ends and wideouts.
Does it end up pendulum-ing, though, where you get so many hybrids on defense that are having to stop all of these offensive playmakers that all of a sudden you're rotating coverage, you got fast guys. Well, now all of a sudden everybody's trying to stop the wide open pass game. So you got somebody who's like, well, let's just run it right back down their throats. Yeah. And then has it just a nonstop pendulum all
it
the
is.
Time?
It is a nonstop pendulum. The one thing that will never change is you better have a quarterback. That's the thing that'll never change, whether or not that quarterback is a dual threat guy like a Lamar Jackson that can beat you with his arm, beat you with his legs, or a guy that, like Tom Brady was, that's just going to, precision just carve you up. You still have to have that quarterback. And that's the first thing that we're looking for in recruiting is every class. Can we find that quarterback as well as when we're scouting teams and stuff is how's the quarter? Because you can, like you said, you can put everybody in charge of pass, but if that kid's just going to run the ball on you as a quarterback, you're in trouble. And so, yeah, it's a pendulum it's offensively as well as defensively, it's ever changing.
How hard would it be to install a wishbone in 1 week and just surprise the crap out of a team?
It would be really, really hard.
Really?
I believe it would be. But
like student body left?
Yeah.
I mean,
you think it'd be easier, Buzz? Yes. Well, I think this whole thing would be pretty easy. Honestly, around the school.
You know what, though? But that's not what anybody wants to see. Then you know, if the Cowboys did that, if you said, let's Cowboys do it, then the NFL is going to be mad because then they're not throwing the ball enough.
And one game, though, a big game. We're running wishbone. We're running a triple option. You know,
well, that's the thing that
– leather helmets. You go all in, Coach.
Wow. Well, when we were at North Dakota State, we had to play Georgia Southern, and they were all triple option. And then my first year here, we're so excited. We get to go to a bowl game, and we get announced, and we get to play Navy. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a lot of fun. You know, of having to defend triple option and your defensive line getting cut on every play and like, hey, we're playing Navy. And the guy's like, hey, great. Yeah. So you got to be unbelievably disciplined and know you're going to get cut all the time. So it's really hard to defend and probably equally as hard. You know, the one rule that changed in college athletics, college football a couple years ago is the cut block. You can't cut people down on the perimeter anymore like you used to. 5 years ago, 3 years ago, and that's where some of those wishbone teams are probably having a harder time.
Even the wide receivers used to cut people hard,
yeah,
which they can't do anymore. But they would even wide out run, phew,
yeah,
it's just a tendon tear.
Exactly,
you hit it wrong barely one time.
Yeah,
those cut blocks. That's kind of how Aaron Rodgers ended up tearing his Achilles too.
Yeah. And that's the thing that's so hard right now with college athletics or college football. Has changed. We've gotten better on the targeting, right? I mean, we've used to get targeting and then the kid would have the walk of shame because they'd throw him out and you'd have to walk him off, send a support staff member. Now they at least can stay on the sideline. But, you know, we've taken some of that, but now we're having more lower body injuries because I can't go high on you across the middle. So I go low on you and you see some ugly injuries because of it. And, there's that happy medium of hit him between the knees and the chest and there's not going to be any penalty. But, you know, everybody talks about that, but that's a split second decision, whether or not that guy's coming at me. And if it's a kid that's 6'5", 250 pounds, do you really want to go high on that guy?
No, the answer is no, in case you're wondering.
I wouldn't think you would. No.
Our final five questions. I'm going to start with this one. The rule of a wide open, fast offense, you know how to stop them? Act hurt. Just grab your hamstring, get a cramp. Something's got to change as far as if you get hurt, you grab something, you cramp. Like that's the rest of the series, you're out. What would you suggest to the rules committee?
It's gotten better already. It's gotten a ton better, but probably just the rest of the series. You know, if a guy comes out, it's usually when it's 104 degrees and you're out there for that 10th play that you could potentially have it happen. But then it probably should just be the series. You don't know if it's one more play or eight more plays.
But, I mean, you know when they're lying. You know when they're lying.
Oh, absolutely.
Like I think
everybody does. It's bad when there's two guys down on the same play.
They forget who told who.
Wait.
I said I would do it.
No, God. Coach, I remember watching Friday Night Lights or something, and there was the part where somebody gets hurt and the coach is like, get in the room, shoot it up, you're coming back out. It's like almost like no choice. When someone does get hurt, do you say like, are you hurt? Or like, what do you tell me?
Are you hurt or injured?
Yeah. I mean, this is when we work out. That's what he tells me. Are you that kind of like, are you hurt or you're injured? Or are you just like, you decide on your own seat?
No, it's a different world now. I just go to the trainers and they say, he's out. We're checking on him. We're getting something. We're retaping him. We're going in for an x-ray. We'll come back, let you know. And now I just let them tell me, is he going to be back or not? Yep, he'll be back, coach. You got three more plays and get him ready. Or nope, sorry, coach, he's out. Oh, come on, he's not. No, you just listen to what the trainers tell you and move on. So that's become what it should be. We should be out of the conversation on that, whether or not a kid's healthy or not to play.
Do you still take their helmet? So they can't go back in the game?
Yeah.
You ever had anyone hurt, grab their helmet and go back in the game and sneak on?
No, I mean, they'd have to grab somebody else's helmet.
I'd grab a whole new uniform. I'd go in, put a whole new uniform on, come out with a different number.
Get a different number. Changing your number.
Yeah, man, I'd come out with number 77.
He's big on that.
They'd be like, who is this Robbie Jones guy? Man, he's good.
I don't know, but if I saw you in 77 playing O-line, I'd feel pretty good about our chances.
You should, Coach, and you should. What's the ceiling here?
Oh, boy. Compete for championships. We feel like if we continue to recruit the way we have been and continue to get the right guys and continue to have the guys buy in and develop, compete for championships. Nobody knows. I mean, the landscape of college football keeps changing with conference realignment and people joining. And now, beginning next year, there's going to be 12 teams in the playoff. And so if you get into that tournament, because I used to be a part of tournament play in the FCS, if you get in that tournament, anything can happen.
That's so exciting to me. And the argument often was, well, you want to keep the value of each game in college football, but we also love the NFL, and there's value to each game. But also the playoffs are freaking awesome.
Yeah, and there has to be more value to every game. But if a team slips up twice, they ought to still have an opportunity. And that's unfortunate right now, because if a blue blood loses a game, they're wanting to jump off that team, and that team's done. It takes a while for teams to peak, especially right now because of the transfer portal, players changing teams, people having new rosters every year, essentially, or new players, that sometimes it takes you half a season. And the best teams at the end of the season are what you're trying to get.
Coach, very stressful job you have. How do you get your mind off football? You have a boat? You got jet skis?
I go play golf. You have a boat? Which we should have went and played golf.
We should have.
Yeah, we definitely.
Now you tell us that, because all you had to do is mention maybe, and we'd have come last night.
We would have brought our
norms.
Yes,
yeah.
And since it's an open week, we probably could have figured it out.
Oh, my gosh.
But if it weren't an open week. So, no, that's what I do. I try to go play golf, get my mind off it, and got a couple of great golf courses around here that we go out and play. If not, sit in the back, cook out, jump in the pool. Just try to get away from it as best you can.
Do you ever throw your clubs on the team plane and try to get there a day early and squeeze around in?
No, I don't think that would probably work. They probably wonder, oh, sure, you're a player's coach. Now you're just going out. Can we go too? There'd be a lot of players that want to go with me.
Last question. You talk about the importance of having a quarterback in every class, at least attempting to do that. So let's say that you sign a 4 or 5 star quarterback last year, and now you're trying to recruit me. I'm another 4 or 5 star guy. Yep. But I mean, there's this guy one year ahead of me. How in the world do you get me to come here when you got a guy in front of me?
A lot of those 4 and 5 stars think they're going to beat everybody out. So that's one positive thing is no, I can beat that guy out. The second thing is they know they see how the evolution of football is. Somebody may leave. Also, you know, people get hurt. You know, every year that I've been here, other than our first, our quarterback has missed a little bit of time. So there's always that opportunity. And, you know, if you're still selling the fact that we had at North Dakota State, we had Brock Jensen, who was the all-time winningest quarterback in FCS at one time. And we brought Carson Wentz in. Carson sat for a couple of years, and then Carson won a couple championships. And then we had Easton Stick come in. And Easton Stick ended up being the all-time winningest quarterback in FCS football. And behind him was Trey Lance, who we brought in. So we brought in the next guy every time that they knew that their opportunity would come. And when they had that opportunity with the type of offense we run, and same thing here with the type of offense that we run, when I get my shot and I make the most of it, it's going to give me that opportunity to play at the next level.
Coach, thanks for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks for coming to Manhattan, Kansas.
This feels like where I come from. I think that's why I root for Kansas State. And like my parallel universe of Kansas State, because I'm from Arkansas. That's what we had. It's all we had was University of Arkansas. And like, we hated Texas. I mentioned that earlier. I still hate Texas.
Yeah, yeah. We heard that.
And it's like, now I hate Kansas too. I'm going to be honest with you, Coach. And so it makes me love you even more.
You got to come back for a game.
Yeah, I hear you. We beat the crap out of Kansas basketball last year. But like, their fans are just like nasty. You know? You don't have to say anything. I'll say it.
We're just talking over here.
But it's like my love. I enjoy what you're doing with the program. And then I understand how the fans of this program feel. But then it's the parallels of, I just can't take Kansas, man. That's it, Coach.
Okay, well, we appreciate you guys.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
here we go.
And love to have you come back for a game, man. We'll get you a spot.
All right, thanks, Coach. Happy birthday, too. Happy go to Chili's on us, all right?
Yeah, we got your dinner. Invoice us the Chili's.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
awesome.
Pay for it, but invoice us. It may take a little while for our department to get
we'll
the counting.
We'll reimburse you.
But something will happen, surely. Okay, thanks.
You don't want to just leave me a credit card?
No, we're good. We're good.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys -2 at the Chargers, Eddie.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to cover. They're going to win that game, of course.
Kevin?
Chargers.
What?
It's just to piss you off.
Yep.
Because he hates it that you enjoy his team losing.
Yep. I'm going to give you the speech I gave my kids. It's the NFL. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Then why not give that speech to yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you mean?
If you're going to tell somebody else they have no idea what they're talking about, you should say it to yourself.
Well, no, it's just my kids always base it on their last week performance. It's like, look, that's the way. Look, they look like they look terrible last week. This week they're going to come back and look like, oh my gosh, they're great again. And then we're going to be like, well, where are the Cowboys? I don't know who they are. Are they the Cowboys that played the 49ers, or are they the Cowboys that played the Chargers? Who knows? They're going to kill the Chargers. They're going to be back to where they were.
But you just said nobody knows anything, including yourself.
Well, yeah, that's true. But what I'm saying is, just go the opposite of what you think.
Yeah, I think the Cowboys cover. Seahawks and Bengals.
After all that.
Bengals -3. Is Joe Burrow healthy?
Nah.
My sources say no.
Who's your source?
I can't tell you.
You have a source for real?
I do, yeah.
It's not your wife?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
But my source says he's not fully healthy yet, even though they took him off the injury report. But I'm taking Seattle, mostly because I bought him in that league. I need him to win. I can't speak anything bad of their existence. Ravens -3 at the Titans. They both went to London at different times, which is interesting. The Ravens went for a whole week, and I think the Titans just land and get off the plane and go play.
Oh, yeah.
Like, all right, we're here, guys. Get your pads. Let's go.
No sightseeing.
Beyond 30 minutes.
That
no
sounds
Big
like
Ben.
Rabel for sure.
No, yeah. They'll wait until the last minute. Ravens -3.5 in London. Go, Eddie.
I'm going to go Titans. Ravens have been looking weird lately.
They're dropping balls like crazy.
Yep, not finishing games, doing weird stuff.
Crazy.
Ravens.
I'm going to go Titans. I own them. I'm biased.
Oh, you own them?
Yeah, I have six partial teams ownership? In my league.
Mm. Oh, that league. I thought you really owned the team.
Commanders and Falcons. Falcons -2.5.
Falcons. Bijan's awesome. Let's go.
Commanders.
I go Commanders too. Commanders are kind of salty. And I think too, we're going to start seeing teams eat themselves on purpose, but not on purpose. Like Minnesota. There's no way Justin Jefferson comes back if they're trying to get that number one pick. And they're going to trade Kirk Cousins. Like if they're going to commit, commit. Because Kirk Cousins, it doesn't... most of his money, this last year, he's got like $10 million. So you pay him. But most of that money on his contract is already bonus money that he's got. So he's been paid. So it's a rental. It's a pretty cheap rental if you get Kirk Cousins. I would trade him. I would not bring Justin Jefferson back. I'd lose every freaking game. Get it on like Caleb Williams.
Mm-mm. Patriots got that. Don't worry.
Well, they don't have to change anything. They just keep going as is. Mm-hmm. They don't have to
sit. They play hard and they'll lose.
Is Mac Brown throwing with the right arm? Or sorry, Mac Jones throwing with the right arm?
Yeah. Who knows?
Jeez. Niners and Browns. Niners 4.5, minus 4.5.
Niners.
The easy pick is San Francisco, but they had a big win.
And they're saying that Deshaun may not even play. So
he didn't play last week.
Yeah. So here we go. Let's go Niners again.
That's why those games, I would stay away from this one.
Really? Oh, because
it
of what I told
so
my kids?
So easy.
Yeah. You never know, guys.
It's, no, not because of what you told your kids.
What do you mean? You never know. You never know.
It seems so... these games, it seem like they're just guaranteed slam dunks. Usually in the NFL aren't.
Yeah.
Well, I thought about that, too. Like, last week when the Cowboys played the Niners, everyone picked the Niners. You know, like all the pregame commentators, whatever. Niners, Niners, Niners. And then Maria Taylor goes, well, I got to go with the Cowboys because every time we pick one team, they always end up being the one that loses. That's not the case. Like, that wasn't the case on Sunday. That's not... Niners are going to win this one for sure.
But will they cover?
Yes. They'll kill. I think they beat them by 14.
Is that your,
more.
Is that your guarantee?
Yes.
You're going to put it in your broken promise?
Yes, it is.
All right, commit Eddie to the broken promises jar. He's got the Niners minus 4.5.
That is my pick.
Kevin, who's your promise?
That's what I was going to go with.
Really?
Yeah.
Go with it. You can go with the same
do
one.
It. Let's double up on it.
Okay. Not the pause here. The only thing is it's up to 7 now, I think.
Yeah, 7. That's what we have.
It's now up to 7.
Yeah, because Deshaun is 50-50.
Oh, really?
50-50.
Well, I printed my sheet out as a 4.5.
Yeah, so that's why I was like, I don't.
Oh, Eddie.
I did just say 7, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I said 7.
Okay, cool.
So let's
you
go.
You still want them at 7?
Absolutely.
I'm going to go
I
with you.
Want them
too.
At 7.
Okay. Well, then I'm just going to throw my sheet away and move on because I printed this off like 2 hours ago.
It's so outdated.
Yeah. And you, that's yours, Kevin?
Yeah.
Reed, do you have a promise this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go Commanders after what y'all just said because I was going to go 49ers, but. Now I'm going to go Commanders.
Bro, triple up. Yeah, let's go.
Triple up.
Kevin, you don't feel good about Patriots?
No.
Reed, why are you asking questions?
Have you watched them? Wait, who you have Washington?
Reed's walking in the pool timid.
Washington what?
Sometimes if it's cold, you don't want to get your thing wet because it's like, ugh, you wait in slow. Just jump in.
Yeah.
Don't be timid.
Yeah, I'll go Commanders plus 2.5.
Okay.
I like that bet, though. And finally... mine is, I already bet mine, so let me pull it up. And then we'll get Lunchbox here. Mine is Duke. What's it at now? I bet it at Duke.
What does your paper say?
Minus, well, Duke minus 2 is what I bet it at, but I want to grab, if it's better, I want to take that now. You looking at it?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go Duke over North Carolina State.
3 now.
I took the 2.5 when I have on my thing here.
That's good.
I'm going to take the best option of this. All right, so I have Duke minus 2.5.
Okay.
All right, very good. So, Reed, you got yours?
Yeah.
How much money's in the pot?
We still have only our money.
They, you guys still
these two
money?
Haven't paid anything.
I need to get cash.
Yeah.
Can I put IOUs in
you
there?
You know what? Every show that you don't pay from now on, it'll be $5 interest.
Okay, I got it.
But so you have it until the next show, but it'll be $5 interest.
I'll go to the gas station right now.
Yep.
You leave during the show.
I'll be back.
All right, we're going to bring Lunchbox in and talk about Kansas for a second. He's wearing his Kansas hoodie. Kansas, one of these. We were talking about the Entitled Bowl.
Yeah, definitely entitled.
Kansas basketball, for sure. It's entitled. Not a shot towards you. I want to be entitled. I want to be Alabama. I want to be USC. I want to be teams that want to fire their coach if they don't have a Final Four season. I want to be teams that seem like jerks because they win all the time and it gets annoying. But we're not. Kansas is that team.
Do they really feel like jerks?
When we beat you guys in NCAA tournament in Iowa this last year, the Kansas crew was not nice. They were mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, we were sad and depressed, but I mean, I don't know if we're entitled. I feel like...
you're entitled to win basketball games. You feel like Kansas plays, they should win. You feel like Kansas should win the Big 12, right?
Yeah.
Like, easy. If you show up and you do what you normally do, you should win or something's wrong.
I mean, I would say... we have the best coach in the Big 12, and it's impressive what he's done. Even when we have teams that aren't very good, he he finds a way to win the Big 12, which is incredible.
So do you expect to win the Big 12?
Yes.
Every year?
Yes. There's some years that I'm like, there's no way. They're not good enough. And then they do it. And I'm like, holy crap.
And do you feel like people should just respect you regardless because you're Kansas?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're entitled.
Yeah, you're entitled. Yeah.
But it's okay. I want to be entitled as a sports program. That's why I hate Texas, because they win. It sucks.
Texas wins what?
Generally, it's sports. They're usually number one in the old all sports is together. Stanford or
diving and swimming. Well, no one cares.
Regardless, Texas baseball championships.
Yeah,
they have good basketball teams.
They're just always relevant.
Always, and even if they're not, they still are because people are angry at them for not being relevant.
Mm-hmm.
So Texas, I hate Texas because of that. Always have hated Texas, Tennessee. That's been a big Alabama, Georgia. I hate everybody that wins. So Kansas is one of those schools that we hate. Why did your coach get off scot-free?
Because the NCAA realized they have no power. They have no power. They started paying players anyway, and they realized this is so stupid. We wasted so much money and resources on this crap, and we don't really want to waste our time with it.
Will you catch Eddie up on what happened?
Thank you.
So there
did
was,
I have a confused look on my face?
Yeah. That's my fault. I should set it up. Yeah.
I did see the headline where like there's no charges or whatever, or like the penalty's not that bad.
Sure.
They got 5-1 level one violations that were supposed to like ban us from the postseason. Bill Self was going to be in deep trouble. They were going to put on probation.
Castration.
For illegal benefits.
The whole team.
Cut them off?
Yeah, all of them.
Yeah, because.
Bands too?
Allegedly.
Bands and the band.
They were funneling payments through Adidas. We were paying players. And what Kansas said was, we had no idea this was going on. This was a rogue Adidas employee that was paying the players. We didn't have anything to do with it. So it was a 5-year back and forth of like, oh, let me see your text messages. And what did we find out? That Kansas didn't know anything.
So they did get paid.
They did. What do we think we know? That the NCAA just doesn't have the power. And now players, they just got lucky. Kansas got lucky with the timing of getting in trouble.
Right. And same with Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State was the only one that was they got banned on the postseason. That was the only one. And here's the thing.
And that was also Adidas?
Yes.
Okay.
It was the same guy, same little.
Wow.
And listen, do you think deep down that Kansas was paying the players?
Yeah.
100%. Yes, absolutely. But guess
entitled.
What? Everybody pays the players.
Not us, because we suck.
Oh, man. Everybody pays players. Not Duke us. Plays players. North Carolina. I mean, North Carolina made up fake classes. There was not even real classes, and we're just putting them on their report cards.
I like that.
And they got no trouble.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, it's like they did it for years. It's like, oh, but now we have to take down the Final Four banner? Really?
Oh, that's one of the penalties?
Yeah, no, and that would never even bother me. Like,
okay,
vacate your trophy. No, I still got to experience that. You can't do Men in Black to me. If you could, that would suck. And I would be like, you can have it back. I want to keep it. But if you can't go Men in Black, I still enjoy it. I don't have a banner in my house anyway.
Yeah, well, the Kansas, they vacated some wins, so now they're not the winningest basketball program in history.
Oh, that's in the books?
Yeah. Yeesh. They didn't go to the Final Four in 2018.
I don't read the books.
In 2018, there was only 3 teams in the Final Four now, and Bill Self only has 4 Final Four appearances instead of 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough.
But I would just say 5. What are they going to do?
Yeah, what can they say? Right.
He did go to 5.
Yeah, but in like 30 years, when you look back, you're like, oh, that's not there. It says 4.
Except for the asterisk, and you're like, only read the asterisk. I guess he was 5.
Yeah, so that sucks, but whatever. As long as and then they said reaching the postseason, the NCAA tournament, we had an NCAA record, but that is now snapped because we didn't make it in 2018.
Wow.
Finger parentheses.
Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah.
But you got lucky that players are being paid now because of that. They're going, who cares now? It's for the same reason Reggie Bush should be given his Heisman back.
100%. Give it to them. It's so stupid. They took it away in the first place. All these people. I mean, Zion Williamson got paid by Duke.
Oh, yeah.
And we had to like, oh, no, because Coach K, we're going to. But who cares? Everybody was playing everybody. There was a dude that I went to high school with. He played golf at the University of Texas. And he comes out one day, and guess what? Brand new set of golf clubs sitting in the back of his car.
Who's that?
I'm not going to say his
name. You guys listen to Lunchbox and Raymundo's Sore Losers. Show will be up today. It's probably already up by the time you're hearing this. Lunchbox, thanks, man.
Thanks.
All right, that's it. Mike, we good?
We're good.
All right, I got to go to a meeting. Thanks to Coach. Thanks to Cooper Beebe for coming on, All-American, and got the strength of the All-American.
Oh, man, big dude. With little arms, he says.
Okay. He's like, my arms are so little. Yeah. There's nothing little. And I looked everywhere.
What do you mean? Oh, you saw?
There's nothing little about that guy. He's a monster in every way. Thank you, guys. Please follow us at 25 Whistles. Check out the newest episode of Too Much Access with Kansas State. And we'll have another one coming out on Monday, which I don't know which one it's going to be yet.
You haven't decided? We're waiting on wins?
We're waiting on the... We're just waiting.
Hey, I think I'm going to go back to Western Kentucky for a game next month.
I thought you were going to Cincinnati for a game.
I'm doing both. Sam Houston State's playing Western Kentucky, so I think I'm going to make the drive check out that game.
That's really cool.
Excited about that.
Oh, I got to update that. I can't wait to give you guys. I told Eddie on the phone, but I can't.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Just until.
What?
It's a good one.
Okay.
I mean, could you tease it in a way? Because
I committed to Arkansas. I'm playing next year.
That's definitely not
all
it.
All right, I got to go. at 25 Whistles. Thank you, guys. Bye.
Whistle.
Oh, whistle. Ready. Hold on.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.